What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, March 15th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside returning co-host, the blind gamer, Steve Saylor.
Hi!
Hello!
You're back. Welcome back.
I'm back again. Greg, can we just like just dispense everything we're gonna talk about today and
sure.
just talk about the Division 2?
I would like that
like,
very much.
Can we just literally
it's
rename
Division
Kinda Funny
Day.
Division Daily?
It's Division Daily!
I'm your agent Steve Saylor alongside the lieutenant of the Fran Jose Sharks, Greg Miller.
Yeah!
Reporting for duty, ladies and gentlemen. Steve, how have you been enjoying the Division?
Oh my god. I have a love and hatred for this
game.
All
right, game. You can leave. There's no reason
well,
to hate.
It's an accessibility issue with
oh,
me.
Oh, right. Okay, right. You're the blind gamer.
Yes.
Although we
yes.
proved last time, fake. You can see.
Yeah, well, yeah, dude,
fake.
It's not fake.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm just saying. Right? Am I wrong, Barrett?
Yeah.
Barrett says I'm wrong.
Barrett, thought you were on my side.
That's what he's saying. He's saying I'm wrong.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Good. So the Division 2, I die so much
sure.
in this game.
Sure.
I'm still trying to be able to get the mechanics of the cover and shoot.
Did you play one at all?
I did a little bit, and I had to stop because it was unaccessible to me
sure.
At the time, because it was a lot of like really small text, and the enemies were pretty small.
So hold on. I want to take a quick aside.
Yeah,
if somebody missed you on your Games Daily in December,
yes.
who are you exactly,
oh,
Steve?
Oh, perfect. Yes. I am the blind gamer, youtube.com/snowball. I suck at video games because of my blindness, and it's a lot more entertaining to watch me fail at video games than it is for me to actually do well. And then I also talk about accessibility. I'm an accessibility consultant and all around kind of
perfect
just fun guy.
So then Division 1 not that accessible, but Division 2.
Yes, the Division 2 actually I actually think it is one of the most accessible games that is out in the market from a
oh,
AAA
wow.
developer.
Okay.
Ubisoft really took the time to be able to develop a lot of accessibility features within the game. The fact that when you start up the game, you can actually adjust like the subtitle size,
right.
you can adjust the large font on the menus, which is something I've been wanting since I was a kid, because the menu items were just so freaking small.
Yeah.
You can also have a narrator be able to narrate each item in the menu,
yeah.
which is amazing. You can adjust the HUD to however you want it. So instead of like in Division 2, you can actually like your map, your mini map, and your sort of mission objectives are kind of in the top left corner. I was able to move it down to the bottom right, but you can also adjust the size of it, which is, it boggles my mind. I have not seen that in a game in like ever.
Wow.
And the fact I can do that, because I put it at the bottom right just because it's perfectly situated to where your HUD is for where you're like, yeah, how much ammo you have left and
yeah.
all that. And it's like I can just quickly look down and see where I need to be. And the reason why for me it's a little bit hard to be able to play is because you're undercover and you're having to be able to kind of find everyone around you.
Sure.
The enemies are a little bit too small. And
I was going to say, even for me, right, and I'm playing a 58-inch TV at home most of the time, like
yeah.
it is that thing of like, I see the, you know, the semicircle showing the red, showing mm-hmm. that they're over there somewhere. And I'm like,
yep.
where the hell is this guy?
Exactly. And that, and like the there was actually one mission. I think it was in the Jefferson Trade Center where you're in like the parking garage and there's these like green and red lights that are kind of on the ceiling. There were so many times I was shooting at that thinking that was an enemy because
yeah,
of the
yeah.
red. I'm like, oh, that's where it is. And I'm shooting at nothing.
Yeah.
And I die so much. Like it took like the Jefferson Trade Center mission. Normally, I would say I'm probably guessing for you probably like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah,
to complete.
Not terribly.
It took me 2 hours.
Yeah.
Because I kept every section. I don't think I got through any section without dying at least minimum.
Are you playing with
times.
People or are you?
I'm solo.
Okay.
I tried to be able to play with my brother before I came here, but we couldn't actually hook up for some reason, and it crashed for the first time on me like the other day. So it just couldn't happen. But when we actually were able to get into a mission, it was so cool just to be able to kind of like direct him. Okay, go to the left. We'll flank on the right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it was a little bit easier, even though he was like a level 2 and I got up to like level 7.
Yeah.
I love that the
oh, enemies the balance
kind of adjust.
Buffs. Yeah.
yeah. So it was it's been the game. It's like it kills me that I am not playing the Division, and I haven't been able to play Division for the past 2 days.
Yeah. Did you bring you playing a PlayStation?
I do, yeah.
Did you bring your PlayStation with you?
I did not want to risk going through customs.
Rookie move.
I didn't want to have to say,
you don't
want to
tear it apart? What's in this thing? Crack
yeah.
it open, Canadian
I didn't
Border
want to
Patrol.
Say, well, I'm trying to save Washington, D.C.
No, that doesn't play well.
No,
that doesn't play well with TSA. That's not how you want to do it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I'm in love with it, too. It's killing me not to play it. I'm very excited. We're streaming it today. Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames this afternoon. Barrett, Kevin, Andrea, and or Fran. I forget who.
Can I also mention what I've got for the Kind of Funny Best
Please
Friends?
Please do.
So I actually was able to put out a YouTube video of it. If you go to YouTube channel, youtube.com/snowball, I have a video of the Division 2 up there. If you go there, comment, and subscribe to the video, I am giving away a copy of the Division 2 on any platform of choice. And so if you go there and then with it, like by tomorrow, Saturday, 11:59 p.m., I'll choose a winner.
That's randomly. Awesome. That's always so nice that you do it when you come here. You always give away something to the audience.
I don't want to be the giveaway guy, but it just so happens that it just lines up. Like I had to do something because it's Division Day.
It's Division Day, everybody.
Yeah.
Save so. DC. Yeah. If you didn't know, today we're talking about new No Man's Sky content, Sony squashing the Take-Two rumor, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every week, on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in as we record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, on roosterteeth.com, and people listening on podcast services around the printer is broken again, the globe. Today, for housekeeping, I got some for you. Again, Division stream this afternoon. We're going to be in Kansas City March 30th for the Kind of Funny World Tour. Remember, you can come to the meet and greet without any need of a pass. You can just walk on in and then buy your own beer. However, if you want to go to Planet Comic Con, we're doing a bunch of panels there. I'm hosting the Superman panel of the year with Michael Rosenbaum, Tom Welling, Dean Cain. I'm also interviewing Mick Foley on a panel out there. Nick is interviewing Henry Winkler. Tim is interviewing a bunch of Power Rangers. And Andy is joining us for the Kind of Funny panel at Planet Comic Con. All the information's up on kindoffunny.com/events. But New York, don't sleep on the fact that you are the weekend after Kansas City Comic Con, like April 6th-ish, right?
7th-ish.
Fifth, sixth. It's that weekend. It's that Saturday. Again, kindoffunny.com/events. If you're in New York and you're like, I want to do stuff. What do you
I
got for me?
I just want to bring up, what's the post-it note on your laptop right there?
And should that is a reference to the Kind of Funny Games cast available right now on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and for free and everywhere on Monday. Cool. Thanks for being a fan, Barrett. Doesn't even know he works here. Doesn't even know the content.
I was the one who directed the games cast.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed, Tom Bach, and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Hims, but I'll tell you about that later. Wait a second. Who put PAX East on housekeeping? This is your second show. You think you can come in here, start changing up the thing?
No! You gave me access to the dock, so I kind
of
had to.
What's happening at PAX East?
So, of course, it's sad that you guys are not going to be able to be at PAX East this year, but...
sad you can't come to KC.
Well, I mean, it's flights, and I'm unemployed right now, so...
Oh, yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah. However, so What's Good Games, as you know, is going to be at PAX East during the panel on Thursday, March 28th in the Bobcat Theater at, I think, 6:30 p.m. I can actually officially announce today, I've cleared it with Andrew, I will be one of the guests on the panel. So, yeah, come check it out. You'll at least have a little bit of Kind of Funny representation there. So.
Hell yeah, you will. Yeah, that's what I want you to do. In the middle of the panel, stand up, flip the table, be like, this is a Kind of Funny takeover.
Sure.
Yeah, don't do that. No, don't do that. Andrew will not like that. Yeah. Everybody go there and support What's Good.
Steimer was scared of me. It scared me.
Yeah. No, that's a... Trust me, you're not the only one scared of her. Time for What Is and... What Will Always Be, and What Forever Will Be, and What Barrett Loves to Say, The Roper Report. Time for some news! Three items on The Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Out of the blue, Sean Murray coming in swinging. We have news about the next No Man's Sky update. I'm reading, of course, from the Xbox blog over there where they put up all the information. Sean wrote a post there. This applies, though, to all forms of No Man's Sky. Launching No Man's Sky and the next content update to Xbox One last year was one of the most exciting times for our game. Millions of new Xbox One players joined the already wonderful No Man's Sky community and helped to change the legacy of this game we care so much about. Following the launch of Next, it was great to be able to share regular updates with the No Man's Sky community. We've been a little quieter so far this year, but today we're ready to announce some exciting news. We will launch a major new update in summer 2019, Beyond.
Beyond!
Fuck you, Sean Murray. If it wasn't insulting enough to have David Cage swoop in, I got Ellen Page. Let's steal a popular PlayStation podcast title. Now Sean Murray's doing podcast Beyond Dirty. This is what you get when you leave Dornbush in charge.
No, I talked to Dornbush. He's already contacting his lawyer. So,
there you go.
I don't believe it. I'm sure it's Pear just put. He passed the memo to Pear. We need to sue these guys, and Pear went, okay, and threw it away. You know what I mean?
Well, it is a Beyond without the exclamation point, so...
Don't. Are you their lawyer?
Who
do you work for? Back to Sean's letter. We began the year planning to continue developing a series of regular updates, much like Abyss and Visions last year. But as we worked on this plan, we decided we could deliver a much more exciting and impactful experience if we wove these features together. We are excited to announce that Beyond will contain several major updates rolled into one huge free release. The component of Beyond we are announcing today is No Man's Sky Online. Online will bring players together from across the universe to play and explore in a brand new multiplayer experience. We've made these changes to support and develop the way we've seen people playing since launch of Next. And we're very excited to watch the adventures and journeys that result. No Man's Sky Online will dramatically expand the opportunities for playing together and has many recognizable online elements, but we don't consider this game to be an MMO. It won't require a subscription, won't contain microtransactions, and will be free for all existing players. We're happy to announce Beyond today. It is our most ambitious chapter so far, and we've been working so hard to do the game and the community justice. Online is just one part of what we have to share, and we hope to highlight the other exciting features of Beyond in the coming weeks. We were humbled and thrilled to see so many accolades and nominations for No Man's Sky as the Game Awards Best Ongoing. As the Game Awards Best Ongoing Game. There's a typo in there. And the Steam Awards Labor of Love nomination. Next was not an endpoint for our journey, but another step in a longer voyage. We will continue to support No Man's Sky in this way for the foreseeable future. Steve, what do you think?
Well, I jumped into No Man's Sky right at the very beginning.
At launch, and, then? Yeah, PlayStation launch, yeah.
Yes, PlayStation 4. And it was funny, actually. When I bought it, I went to EB Games in Canada to be able to pick it up.
Still exists up there.
Yeah, and it was one of those clerks that basically was kind of, yeah, you sure you want to be able to buy this? And I was like, he kept trying, for 5 minutes, trying to convince me not to buy this game. And I was like, you're being a little bit aggressive. So I bought the game, and he was kind of right. it was, I mean, I enjoyed it for what I did. I actually like enjoy the sort of the imagination that I like went wild for me when I played it, because it was so much of like, I kind of felt like I was a space commander and sort of like that like 1930s pop like serial sort of kind of adventures. And I even made a video about that in like on my YouTube channel, kind of in that style. And it was really cool to play it. And then when Next came out, I was able to jump in with my brother, and it was something that we were both really enjoying, because we even found this one planet together where there was this one kind of like medium-sized lake, and we actually started building bases across across the lake, and we were like building a bridge towards each other.
That's so
we
could cool. Actually really kind That's of share really
bases.
Cool.
And we like it. At one point, it did become a little bit more of a resource management game, which is kind of, I guess, the crux of the game itself, or at least the game, the gameplay itself. And I enjoyed it, but it was kind of like after about a month, there was just many other games that kind of.
So here's the thing, actually, I played a lot of No Man's Sky at launch. I enjoyed it, but again, we've talked about this a lot. That I had already played it. I had already talked to Sean. I knew what I was getting into. Right. Me and Kevin knew what we were getting in terms of a game. Next sounded awesome. I never really came back for it.
Yeah.
From what you're hearing, what's the difference between Next and Beyond? Right, because the component of Beyond we are announcing today is No Man's Sky Online. Online will bring players together from across the universe to play and explore together in a brand new multiplayer experience. Like. Well, you and your brother were doing that or not?
It kind of changes the sort of the original mandate of sort of like you're going to be in this vast universe, and you may or may not be able to see any players in the game. Next kind of made that a little bit closer. It seems like that with sort of the MMO aspect that they're going to make it even more closer.
Okay.
And that sort of solar system is going to be shared between worlds.
So how did you group up with your brother in Next, I guess, is my question.
It was essentially like he was on my friends list and we kind of would jump into each other's sort of servers. And
You have your own world and you're inviting people into it.
Yes.
I see the difference then. Okay.
It took a while to be able to get to that, because it was like at one point we were trying to connect and I realized I was halfway across the universe and he wasn't. So once I joined into his game, I finally was able to find that the solar system.
Gotcha.
He was in. And yeah, it took a little bit to figure out, but once we did, it was.
Do you think you're going to jump into this one, Beyond?
I think
just to tinker at least.
I think a little bit. I think my brother and I are going to really try to be able to Yeah, I think we're both going to try to jump in. We really did like the game when we were on it. It's just he also has a baby, so it's going to be tough for him to be able to get squeeze into some time to be able to play. But we're going to give it a shot.
PlayStation's run hot. You put the baby on it, put it right to sleep. It's like a cat sleeping on it.
He's also teething right now, so nothing can
chew
put
on
him
a PlayStation.
Sleep.
Chew on a PlayStation.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
It's easy. Dapper Steven with a PH writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to contribute to the conversation. Says, "What's happening, Kind of Funny Crew?" With Sean Murray saying on the PlayStation blog, "While this brings people together like never before and has many recognizable online elements, we don't consider No Man's Sky to be an MMO," end quote. And with today being the standard release of The Division 2, I'm sure we're going to talk about games as a service, and it got me thinking. Are games as a service the friends with benefits of video games, where MMOs were the marriage with children? The MMO has everything the players seem to want. Massive content, ever-growing, single-player narrative, but with multiple player raid dungeons and dedicated servers to make friends on. However, it does have a downfall of it: commitment, and what gets people most, a subscription. Games as services also require commitment, but it's more relaxed and instead of the subscriptions and microtransactions. Maybe I'm just an older gamer and want to come home to the same video game partner each night and can't be about these younger kids chasing the games as a service's tail. Or maybe I've been playing Final Fantasy 14 for 5 years, 6 months, and 17 days with 161 days of in-game playtime. It's completely skewed my view of online gaming. Why does MMO seem to be a dirty word in this industry? Thanks for all you do, Dapper Steven with a PH. Dapper Steven with a PH. Question of the week right there.
Yeah, that was
well said. It was
question.
A good ride. A little few typos that made me look like a moron, but I'm fine. That's, I can take it.
I don't know. I don't think MMO is sort of a dirty word. I think it's just the evolution of MMO into sort of calling it the games of service or as a service is, it's just the natural evolution of an MMO. I remember, I mean, as you know, you played DC Universe online and I played The Matrix online.
Yeah.
So I've like, playing an MMO, like it doesn't seem like the games have kind of changed that much, except that the difference is that you're not really paying a monthly subscription anymore. You're buying like maybe the annual or season pass, that kind of thing. But it doesn't, it just seems like it's just evolved into what gamers kind of really want. Like I sort of equated to, like, I've been playing a lot of Destiny 2. There's actually a stream that I do every Tuesday night on twitch.tv/blindgamersteve with my buddy T-Morris. And he loves Destiny. And we actually started this thing called literally Blind Leads the Blind, where he's not blind, but he actually, when we talked about it, we were just like, I'm just as bad at Destiny as you are. And
I have no excuse.
Yeah, exactly. So we're like, well, he's like, it literally would be like Blind Leads the Blind. I'm like, that's what we're going to call it. And we've been doing it every Tuesday night. And honestly, that, like, it brought back a lot of the joy I had when I played The Matrix online.
Sure.
And it was just getting together with groups and in a clan, and then kind of like the joy of being able to see other players kind of join in the same missions that you are. It just, I don't think MMO is a dirty word. I think it just, there's a connotation to it the old school when you think MMO, you think of World of Warcraft.
I think you're nailing it. MMO has a history and it has baggage.
Yeah.
And I think games as a service started so slowly, right?
Yep.
And evolved over time with like little games putting little additions into their games, that by the time we got to what we know as a games as service, you can make an argument that that's an MMO,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
But we had already seen it and already started calling them games as services, and here we are. And granted, you know, there's smaller things in terms of like, I'm speaking out of turn because it's been a while since I was in DC versus any MMO, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, usually there are different servers you're getting into, right? And I'm on Pegasus server, or I'm on Link server, something like that.
Yes.
Whereas like with Division, you're not, right? You're on a PlayStation, you're on an Xbox, sure, but I mean, you're not making those kind of choices. I do think it's very much that if you were to call a game an MMO, that is a genre and a terminology that has so much baggage and also isn't in vogue right now. Really don't hear people talk about MMOs, and you don't want to be put into that bucket and then be seen as, well, all right, cool, we are this game that's in here with these other PC games that have a dedicated audience like Steven with a PH, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that, I know there's a Final Fantasy MMO audience there that's playing that thing nonstop. I know when they did the hard reboot of it, everybody loved it, blah, blah, blah. World of Warcraft, et cetera, so on, EverQuest.
Yeah.
They're out there, but they're not getting talked about in the same breath people are talking about Fortnite, which isn't an MMO, right? Like, we don't call Fortnite an MMO. We're not raiding in Fortnite, but it is a games as a service. It is experimenting with that microtransaction and weekly updates and all these different things.
Yeah, I also like say, like, especially like even with like Final Fantasy, probably with minor sort of differences, the game is like is just evolving. It's just really not that the games today are not that much different than MMOs. It's just that everyone's on the same server instead of, and I think that just happened with the technology that kind of grew instead of having to sort of choose which server to be on. It's everyone can kind of be on the same system, and that it just basically just went depending on what platform of choice.
Yeah,
and because that was one thing I being in the Matrix Online, there was actually a radio station that was within the game called Radio Free Zion, and it turned into Awaken Radio. I was one of the DJs that was on there.
Holy shit!
And I remember like this is like my first sort of few shifts on air. Like there would in the Matrix Online, there was these clubs that you can be able to kind of go to, and I was known as DJ Snowball. And I would go into the one of the clubs, go behind the DJ booth, and be like, "Okay, I'm on the Recursion server, and we're having a party. Come hang out," and they can be able to listen in through a Shoutcast server. And I remember there was like 3,000 to 5,000 that would be listening to people, like listening to me every shift, and it was. It was a bit weird just kind of constantly being able to say, okay, I'm on this server and on this server. But it, like, I could totally see that sort of mentality and that sort of like creativity within the community be also done in the games like Destiny or Fortnite or Final Fantasy or even No Man's Sky. Yeah. I would love to be able to see like something like a radio station within No Man's Sky that you can sort of tune into. And it'd be like an organic thing that just sort of exists in this world.
Yeah.
And I think just like... I would love to be able to, I don't know, I think just literally just minor differences between sort of what MMOs used to be and what they are now. I think it just, the definition, I think game as a service is sort of like hard to be able to define for someone who doesn't know, but if you just mention it as a multiplayer game,
yeah,
people get that immediately right away. And that's what I think the industry, or at least the games have evolved into.
And if, I know this is being a bit reductive, but I feel like games as a service also limits the scope in a way where it is like, okay, cool. I know that if I'm playing Division's a game as a service. So I said that and you already knew about games as a service, right? Mm-hmm. You'd imagine, okay, like squads of three, squads of four, right? Yeah. That kind of thing. Whereas like an MMO, like you have the giant guilds that are filled with everything. You're going out and like, think about like EVE Online and the online battles people are having there with hundreds of people and different like that. Mm-hmm. This is scaling it to a way that you're playing with your close friends rather than maybe playing in an MMO where you can't, you're playing with close friends, you're making close friends, but you're also playing with all these other friends and things you've learned.
Something, I think you definitely touched on it. It's like, it's not just about kind of like hooking up with like with strangers in the game. It's that you can be able to connect with your friends. And that's where I think the evolution of multiplayer games have kind of gone. It's like, okay, great. I want, like, I can be able to play and meet people online through these games, but I want to be able to play with my friends. I want to be able to play with my family. And the fact that I'm able to do that, one of the things that with Destiny and with playing No Man's Sky with my brother, what it did for me that I didn't realize was it strengthened the friendship and the relationships that I have with my brother and with my friend T. I've known T for 12 years and we kind of lost connection. We were still friends, but we really got to play it. But once we got jumped into Destiny, it allowed us to kind of rekindle that friendship. And my brother, like, he lives about like maybe 30, 40 minutes away from me. And it's a little bit hard for me to get to him because I can't drive, obviously being blind. But and also his time is just always is kind of hooked up with his family and his career. So the fact that we were able to kind of get together and we've been able to connect via these multiplayer games, that's where I think I love about sort of the evolution of this the genre. Because when I played it in like Matrix Online, I didn't know anybody that was in there except the guild that I was connected with or the clan that I was connected with. But now it's like I can have that same experience and enjoy it even more with friends and family.
Yeah. There you go. It's not a dirty word. It's just a different word.
Yeah.
Number two on the Roper Report. Sony is officially killing the Take-Two rumor. This is from Dean Takahashi over at VentureBeat. He reports Take-Two Interactive stock price mysteriously rose 5% Wednesday on rumors that Sony was in advanced board level talks to buy the company for $130 a share. That would have amounted to a purchase price of $13.7 billion for the maker of blockbuster video games such as Grand Theft Auto 5 and Red Dead Redemption 2. But a spokesperson for Sony said this morning that, quote, "We do not know where the rumor is coming from, but there is no such plan," end quote. And a Take-Two spokesperson said the company does not comment on rumors and speculation. Sony's comment is a rare denial of something that is outright false, and it nails the coffin on this rumor. Today, Take-Two stock price has fallen 3% to $93.16 per share.
I think they literally nailed the coffin, because Sony, you're right. doesn't comment on rumors except when it needs to.
Sony doesn't comment on rumors and speculation unless it's fucking up their corporate stock price.
Exactly.
Stop saying this. We're not doing that. You're giving them money. What are you doing?
Unless the conspiracy hat, unless it's a smokescreen. In fact,
they're doing this to drive the price down so they can buy it.
Yeah, it's like now it's expensive. Oh, okay, let's just drive.
Now everybody heard. Everybody, back off. Say we're backing off.
Yeah.
So there you go. The ongoing saga of the unbelievable turns out to be unbelievable. Number three, if you're good at Apex Legends, you might be able to get a scholarship. This is from Steve Watts, is all I wrote, like a jackass, I assume. Barrett, can you give me a search? I assume it's gamesindustry.biz, I think, but I'm not sure. Steve Watts, wherever he works, reports, Apex Legends is doing very well for itself as the newest contender in the Battle Royale space. And now you can parlay those battlefield skills into a college education. Becker College in Massachusetts has announced a scholarship program tied to an upcoming esports event, which will allow top performing players to receive $5,000 for schooling. Becker has partnered with Team Genji and Helix Esports for the program. Helix is hosting an Apex Legends amateur tournament in New Jersey in early April, and Team Genji will be on site to perform analytics. Those who score among the top players at the tournament can claim the one-time scholarship at Becker if they apply and are admitted to the college. Eligible finalists must be invited to apply, so there will be no ambiguity whether or not you made the cut. Scholarship recipients will be given a tryout for Becker's own Apex Legends team, which will begin competing in fall 2019. You can read more details through the official site. Barrett, did you find out who wrote this?
I think it might have been GameSpot.
Really? Steve Watts works at GameSpot? Well, that's how it works?
I'm trying to figure it out right now.
Honestly, yeah, I think this is really cool.
Totally.
Apex Legends is a game that I've been meaning to kind of jump back into. Because it actually, that ping system.
Awesome. That's one of the things you're going to see everybody. Everybody's going to pick that up.
I don't know if it was sort of built with accessibility in mind, but it is one of those accessibility features that it makes it so much easier instead of having to do like voice chat, which it actually does have like text to voice, which is amazing. And it actually has a lot of accessibility features. There's actually a friend of mine, Cherry Thompson, or at Cherry Ray, RAE on Twitter. She has like this multi-thread of sort of like the accessibility features of this game. And she doesn't play sort of battle royale games. Like she thinks it's a little bit inaccessible for her. And she kind of like jumps in and just like she fell in love with it. And the ping system was something that she kind of really, really loved a lot. So the fact that I love that sort of seeing the kind of the good swell of people that are excited for Apex Legends.
Deservedly so, yeah, right? And that's the thing. And I know I'm, again, beating a dead horse here. But it's so great to see Respawn doing so well. Because yeah. Titanfall was so good. And to have them have a hit on their hands, have them be adding to it or getting ready to add to it, sounds like. And then, see people already swooping in and putting the esports label on it and doing this. The way the ping system is going to be ripped off by everybody.
Sure.
Next season of Fortnite will have a fully fleshed out ping system, I imagine. Yeah. Right,
it just totally makes sense within it's almost like one of those features that you think about,
of course,
why not?
That should have happened.
That's of course it makes sense. But I love it. It's now Apex Legends, or at least esports, they have scouts. Team Genji is a scout for this esports tournament. That's pretty cool.
Don't forget, if you're looking into esports, though, Mizzou, the University of Missouri, does have an esports team now, so you should probably look there first because they're awesome.
Yeah,
Steve.
Yes,
sir. I'm excited to see the Mizzou esports team win all sorts of esports championships. I'm not really sure how esports work, but that's still so far away. If I wanted more immediate news, say what came to the mom and grab digital shops, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. You crushed it.
I screwed that up last time.
You shut your eyes.
and I was so sad. I'm like, I'm learning this thing. I've been memorizing it for days.
I forgot that. You did call me ableist as we went off the air last time, you son of a bitch. Out today, Tom Clancy's The Division 2 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One and PC. Blood Waves on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch. I should point out, too, if you want all the Division talk you can handle, the Gamescast that is up right now on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and up on Monday for free, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast servers around the globe. It's like an hour and a half of me, Andrea, Fran, Kevin, Andy. Bear, did you chime in? You chimed in a little bit,
no,
right?
No, I did. No? Pre and post Twitter. Show, I did.
There you go, talking about Division 2 and how much we love it. So anyways, Division's out, buy it. Blood Waves, PS4, Xbox One, Switch. One Piece World Seeker PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Oh, Jesus. Sephirothic Stories on Xbox One and PC. The Child Sight on PC. Mars Underground on PC. Ymir on PC. Agent 9 on PC. Virus Expansion on PC and Mac. You gotta get that, ain't that virus software. Fillmore 3. Skulls of the Toltecs on PC and Mac. A Song in the Void on PC. Dungeons and Aliens on Switch. Ancestor's Legacy is now available on GOG with crossplay integration. And then today, it was a long one, stick with me. Today, Koei Tecmo America and Team Ninja launched Dead or Alive 6 Core Fighters, a new free-to-play experience now available to download for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Dead or Alive Core Fighters offers fighting game fans a limited look into the world of DOA 6, including the four base characters. I'm not going to read those names because I'll fuck them up. As well as online ranked battles versus arcade, time attack, training, and quest modes. In addition, DOA 6's introduction to story mode will be unlocked, along with DOA Central, the hub for everything from wardrobe and music to the library and theater. So if you haven't played Dead or Alive 6 but you've been eyeing it, jump in now. It's free. You can try this demo and see if it's worth it. New dates for you. Party Hard 2 Alien Butt Form DLC arrives on March 16th. Alright. And then there's going to be an Alpine Green DualShock for the PlayStation 4. This thing looks sexy. It's next month. It's in April. So I don't know why I said next month. Oh, it's March. Yeah, it's March now, right? Yeah. Jesus Christ.
It is next month.
Tears going fast, huh? It's coming in April. $65. It's worth pointing out, of course, my birthday is next month. So if you're looking for anything, I would like an Alpine Green PlayStation 4.
You're about to get sent 50.
I bet I don't get one. Yeah. All right. I don't even think PlayStation would even send me one.
Greg, quick. It's not a new date. I slacked it to you, though. The Behemoth on Twitter is teasing on Tuesday an announcement of Castle Crashers coming to PS4.
Ooh. PS4?
Yeah.
Has it not been to PS4 yet?
I don't think so. I don't think I've heard about Castle Crashers since 360 days.
It's kind of like one of those things that
limped to so many platforms. Yeah. It's hard to keep up with. I would have said Switch when you started. Is that on Switch yet?
I don't know. No. But they're teasing an image with PS4 controllers and stuff. So
where'd you? You're slacking from control. I see. Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm opening it up. Breaking news here from Barrett about Behemoth.
Yeah, that's kind of like it reminds me of like of the Master Chief Collection coming to PC. I'm like, why? I thought it was there already.
Oh yeah, you're right. There it is. Yeah, DualShocks with the light bars. See you Tuesday for more things. Oh. At that point, why don't you just announce it? You know, maybe it's actually releasing then. Whatever. Good for you, Behemoth. Yeah. Go get them. I'll tell you what, and I'm not talking shit. I remember when Castle Crashers came out. Mm-hmm. You know, I was at IGN, and that was one of those Xbox Live games where all like, holy shit, downloadable games can be the thing and it'll be awesome. And you're like, Behemoth's going to be... Oh, hold on, no.
Oh, they're also teaching...
I was going to say, right under Switch. The tweet, right underneath, is on Switch as well.
Joy-Cons. All right.
So, they're teasing... Okay, they tweeted yesterday the Switch Joy-Cons, all of the Castle Crasher colors. Today, they're teasing PlayStation 4 controllers, Castle Crasher colors.
I guess they're going to probably have some of the GDC.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, it'll be a GDC announcement, I guess, too.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it is. Anyways, though, I remember when the Behemoth was, the shit. Mm. And everybody's like, I can't wait to see what they do next. And then they brought that Battle Block Theater to PAX for 7 years in a row. And everybody's like, will you put the game out, please?
I'll probably play that at PAX East.
Everything kind of passed and everything went out and here we are.
Yeah.
Anyways, Castle Crashers, if you haven't played it on the million other platforms coming, and it is a fun game. Deals of the day for you. Treyarch, and this is official a copy from them. Treyarch is giving players plenty of incentives to jump back into Call of Duty Black Ops 4 this weekend. On top of the ongoing Shamrock in Awe event, awesome, the developer is holding a free access period for all of the game's Black Ops Pass multiplayer maps with a double XP event on top of that for good measure. Beginning right now, you can already go, it's happening right now. Players across PS4, Xbox One, PC will be able to jump into all four maps, including the paid Black Ops Pass Evolution, Madagascar, Casino, and Lockup at no charge. The free period is scheduled to run for the same until Monday, March 18th. So if you're looking to try some more stuff out in Black Ops, there you go. But of course, it's Division Weekend, so fucking get to Washington, D.C., agents. Mm-hmm. Steve?
Yes, sir?
It's time for Reader Mail.
Cool.
But first, I'm going to tell you, it's brought to you by Hims. 66% of men lose their hair by the age of 35. And the thing is, once you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. It's easier to keep the hair you have than replace the hair you've lost. That's why you should be like Nick and Andy and go to 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and more for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. These are well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. There's no snake oil pins or gas station counter supplements. These are prescriptions backed by science. There's no waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits. You can save hours by going to 4hims.com, just like Andy and Nick did. They went online, talked to a doctor, sent in some photos, and got matched with prescriptions to help fight their thinning hair. You can order now. My listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. We're going to kick it off with the one and only nanobiologist, usually a You're Wrong contributor, here on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, giving us some questions. He says, this is a response to Greg's question yesterday of if I would buy Left 4 Dead today. Did you see? You hear about this yesterday? You've been traveling. Yep. If you missed yesterday's show, of course we're talking about, was it Back 4 Blood? Is that the idea?
Yeah.
It's from Turtle Rock. It's going to be their like Left 4 Dead inspired game. It's another zombie co-op shooter. And the question was about the evolution of the games as service based multiplayer gaming. But the question was for you, the audience members, if Left 4 Dead hadn't existed on the previous consoles, right? Mm-hmm. And today they dropped Left 4 Dead or Left 4 Dead 2, if you think that's the better game, would you be willing to pay $60 for it and be happy? Nanobiologist says, I would not. It seems like a good free-to-play model that could easily implement a survival pass type deal. Unlocking things for the survivors, zombies, a weapon, and weapon skins you find in levels. Plus, with a survival pass or season pass deal added on, they could implement what they did for Left 4 Dead 1 or to Left 4 Dead 2, but throughout the year. Add new survivors, add new campaigns, add new zombies, and more weapons. In today's gaming space, this model of a $5 to $15 buy-in would be the perfect fit for these type of games. I want to bring in Weissmark, who responds as well. Mm-hmm. Happy Friday, kind of funny crew. Yesterday, Greg and O'Neill, who was awesome, by the way.
He was.
Touched, I know, right? I really, really enjoyed him. Remember, of course, I meant to put in housekeeping. Great, damn it. O'Neill.
Yes.
Dad of War, but of zero with a zero.
Yeah.
He is streaming tonight. He's going to be streaming at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Everybody go there. We're going to host him on Kind of Funny. We're going to blow his previous highest stream of 75 people out the goddamn water. So twitch.tv/... God, no, no. Yeah, God of, Dad of War.
Dad of War.
But with a O, or with a zero instead of the O. Go there, do this. I'll be tweeting about it. Just go there. It'll be easier to find my tweets than it will be my division broken brain and sleep deprivation chamber I've been sleeping in Washington, D.C. Weissmark, sorry. Back to Weissmark. Happy Friday, KF crew. Yesterday, Greg and O'Neill, who was awesome, by the way, touched on one factor that is most important to me when buying a multiplayer game, having friends to play it with. Left 4 Dead 2 was one of my sleepover games for a long time, but if it came out for $6 today, I would only get it if at least one friend committed to playing with me. Anthem was an exception to this because I was so hyped, and at over 50 hours, I've definitely gotten my $60 worth out of it, despite its flaws. Also, there are games like God of War, Odyssey, Red Dead, and Spider-Man that I would pay $70 for or buy DLC for. What I'm curious about is Steve's thought process when deciding to buy, wait, or pass on a game. Thanks for everything, and normally, I'd wish you a great weekend, but I already know it's going to be a great weekend saving Washington, D.C. That's my boy, Wyatt Clark. Right. That's my boy, Wyatt Clark! So, I want to put the question to you, Steve.
Sure.
Left 4 Dead hasn't existed. Left 4 Dead 2, but they call it Left 4 Dead 1, drops right now.
Mm-hmm.
For $60, would you buy it?
Not for $60.
Okay. What do you think?
I didn't actually play Left 4 Dead because it was in that sort of, I call it the dark times, when I stopped playing video games altogether. As I mentioned last time I was here, there was a period of time where I basically just, I could not play the games that were coming out.
Sure.
It was really hard for me to be able to get into and enjoy because I kept dying a lot. The Division is kind of like the exception to that right now. But it's one of those, at the time, accessibility wasn't really a big push within developers, so they didn't really kind of develop games into that mode. But Left 4 Dead, I did have a few friends who did play it, and it's something that I would be interested in jumping into if they did release a new Left 4 Dead just because of the pedigree of the franchise itself. But I would not pay $60 for it. It just seems like, I think the nanobiologist kind of said it right. It was like, if it was like a $5 to $15 or even like a $30 game, then I would consider, because it would be just sort of, it to me, unless they sort of have this kind of plan for like maybe even like a single player campaign, sure, I might be able to kind of like fork over a little bit more to be able to do it. But if it's going to be more of a multiplayer thing like it was,
yeah,
I don't know if that would, like, $60 would be, it would seem kind of empty for the amount of money that you're paying for it.
It's fair. It's totally fair. And Nanobiologist is just talking about the free-to-play model for Left 4 Dead, and I guess now we're talking about Back 4 Blood, really, right? What they're going to do with this. And that's where it gets really fascinating for me. And I guess if I'm sitting there and I'm in Turtle Rock Studios and we're pitching this around, right? Mm-hmm. we know, I know, Left 4 Dead gameplay-wise is awesome. It is so much fun to play. It is so cool to do that. How do we keep people coming back? And what I guess for me, and I'm always short-sighted, right? People are always like, Greg, you know, you know all these people. Do you ever want to make a game? I'm like, no, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I can't. I don't know how games are supposed to be, right?
Right.
I'm so hung up on what I loved about Left 4 Dead was they gave you real campaigns, right? Real narratives. They were like playing a movie. I don't want to see that lost, but I also don't think that plays well to a procedurally to a free-to-play game.
Right.
So it's like, I guess you could do away with that and then do procedurally generated levels. Like, it's like, think of like a Fortnite, right, of a free-to-play model. If we're taking nanobiologists' thing here. Fortnite, you're dropped on the same island over and over and over again, right? Yep. And granted, every season they update it, every week they update and do different things to it. But it's the idea that really it's the other 99 players that are crafting the experience and making every game different from the last.
Right.
Because, you know, it could be whatever. So if it's me, if it's you, me, Barrett, and Kevin playing Back 4 Blood every night, if we're playing the same campaign, sure, the zombies are going to be doing different things, spawning from different places, a different witch. But is that going to give us enough variety to not feel like, okay, cool, I know exactly what's going on here, right? Even with Division right now, we're excited about it because we're still doing brand new things. And even once we get to the end game and we replay old missions, it'll be Black Tusk in there. And it'll be completely different.
And I think that's kind of what people have been kind of wanting within games, is just sort of like content to kind of keep them going. And that's a problem I have sort of with Fortnite right now. As much as they've been adding into the game, it just sort of seems like they still have not gone away from that core model of what Battle Royale has become.
Sure.
And I think with Left 4 Dead, because it was such a unique experience for its time, if they don't sort of evolve from that, it would just become like, if it gets released today, it would with the same way, it would be just a zombie multiplayer shooter that we've seen countless times before. And I don't know, like, it would have to do something. I don't want to say something new, but it's at least to show that at least the franchise has evolved, and it's more than just beyond what it used to be. I think it's like, of course, there's the nostalgia factor of like everyone kind of knows the franchise Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
But I would love to be able to kind of see them do something different. And I don't know if it is the free-to-play model or if it is just them releasing a Battle Royale game, but I would love to be able to kind of see what will make them stand out in sort of now this competitive landscape of a multiplayer game.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If you could, I guess, and this sounds egregious, right? I don't want to ask for too much, right? But if you were giving me shorter campaigns, and like, what, every 2 months I get a new one, episodic, right? Where I'm getting, you don't even call them like movies anymore. It's episodes you're spacing out. And that's procedurally generated. That's changing every time. I do love the idea in Nanobiologist just talking about a survival pass where it would be, there's four characters, but there's all these different skins to unlock for them. There are different visual things for my guns or whatever. It's an interesting thing of, I think the gameplay of Left 4 Dead is so good. And if I could get in there and still feel, I don't know what's around the next corner.
Right.
And I don't want it to be that. I know around this corner it's either going to be the witch, it's going to be the behemoth, it's going to be like, I know it's going to be one of those things, but you have to really keep me on my toes. I just don't know how to do that because I'm not smart enough to make a game.
Maybe that's sort of the avenue they should take, is sort of like the randomly generated island, as it were. Instead, like, it's everything's on the same place, because, like the Fortnite, I know it's like I'm going to jump into one spot and be like, that's kind of where I usually can camp and it's usually okay. Sure, you have to move in a little bit closer to be like, once the circle gets kind of constricts you in, but it, like, maybe it is that randomly generated thing. I don't know if that's something that players would want, but at least for me, it would be like, okay, it's different enough each time that would kind of make me want to keep going in, especially if you have the same squad over and over again. You kind of get each other's shorthand and you kind of figure stuff out as you go. And maybe that's sort of the new take for a battle royale genre. It's like, it's just randomly generated. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. It's one of those, again, I like being dumb because I know how talented Turtle Rock is.
Sure.
And that they're going to come in and bring in this amazing gameplay and the polish. I mean, again, Evolve wasn't a great game.
Yeah.
Just really complicated to get your head around if you wanted to play with other people.
Right.
I'm excited to see what they do here.
In regards to Weissman's question about myself, about what's my designing process. So because there is an accessibility issue with me, I'm looking at a game in sort of on a surface level and being like, okay, is this a game that I can actually be able to play and be okay in? There is sort of like that kind of the exciting factor. It's like, oh, if you can be able to excite me with like with trailer or footage, and I'm like, ooh, that looks cool. Like, but if you have certain, if it's a certain gameplay style, like platformers, You can just go away from me. I can't play it. I plugged in my SNES Classic just the other day because I'm currently setting up. I'm gonna do a new series on my YouTube channel because I have not played Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past.
Oh wow! Okay.
And I'm gonna do a whole series where I'm gonna be playing that. And I was like, okay, I was setting it up, and I just sort of jump into Super Mario World, and I was bad at it. I was so bad. I died like 5 times in that world 1-1.
Yeah.
And I was because just platformers just. So when I see like a platform, no, there's certain genres I'll just avoid. But and so what I kind of decide on is okay, is it a game I can be able to play? It looks like if it looks interesting, and then I'll kind of look into it a little bit further. It's like okay, is this something I can wait for, or like wait for a review, see what people are liking of it, or if it's just sort of like I'm just the excitement of it. Like Division 2 was a game I was like I knew I kind of wanted to jump in. I did play a little bit of the Division, so I was like okay, the gameplay style interests me. And I love the story of the whole world that it's in, and I want to jump in. But a game like Anthem, I was glad that I actually like I technically pre-ordered, so I pre-ordered it through EB Games because I was like, okay, I'll probably get it. And then they call me up and it's like, oh, you have access to the VIP demo. I was like, oh, cool. As soon as I play the VIP demo, nope.
Hi, I'm can out. You cancel my pre-order, please?
Yeah. It was I was out because I was kind of stuck in that sort of loading screen loop that it just would not load, and it'd be very rare that I can get into missions. But even when I did jump into missions, it just was like there was so much kind of like going on the screen that I couldn't see where my character was, even though the camera was kind of locked in on your character the whole time. And what really got me though was like the matchmaking was fine, but with the rubber banding, I kept getting rubber banded so much
because your team would move ahead to the objective and you'd be behind, and they would
exactly because I'm trying to figure out where everything is, and the icons are so small that I couldn't I could barely see. And then when they would rubber band me, it was okay. It's got like I'm now like 30 seconds behind them. I'm trying to catch up, and then it would just keep rubber banding me again because they keep moving further ahead. And by the time I am able to catch up to them, they've already completed the mission, and I have really done anything. And so I was like, okay, I cancel my pre-order. So I think for me. Like it was a game that I said, okay, I'll wait to see what the reviews were. And if the reviews were good, and maybe it was just my experience with it in the demo, that was then I'll buy it. But then it was like sort of like reviews were kind of like ish,
middling. Yeah,
I was like, okay, I'm not gonna get it. So yeah, it's for me, it's genre, it's excitement, and then it's also gameplay. They're the three main things I look at when buying a game.
So I have a question for you, this could easily be me coming at it from obviously a perspective. I don't have to think about these kind of things, right? And I don't want to sound offensive here.
I will say this. There's no question that you can be able to ask me that would be offensive to me, because if I'm offended by the question you're asking about my vision, then there's a problem with me and not a problem with you. So ask any question that you have about vision.
Think God hates? No, I'm kidding. my question is this: do you, accessibility in games, right? Mm-hmm. The issues you're bringing up and talking about, when you run into this, is it a frustration for you in terms of, oh man, I wish I could do this? Or is it a frustration of you feel like, man, why don't the devs do this? Do you feel like every game should be accessible by everybody, or at least from your point of view, or for people suffering from what you're suffering?
I mean, it kind of goes down to like Phil Spencer when he essentially says like we want everyone to be able to play games.
Sure.
And even the like accessibility has already taken a huge step forward. The fact that on the Super Bowl, Microsoft put off that Xbox adaptive controller commercial where it says when everyone games, we win.
Yeah, we all win.
That to me was like it's. I think every game or every game developer should consider accessibility, because it's not about whether or not you're necessarily disabled or you have a disability. That yes, that is kind of the core of it. But also, it's just for anyone to be able to play. If you like, if you only play games on mobile, what is it that I can be able to kind of entice you to be able to play something on a console or on a PC? Mm-hmm. And so when I think that every developer, yes. Should right from the very beginning of the development process should have accessibility as one of the tent poles of developing this game, and that's why I applaud Ubisoft. Now, granted, full disclosure, I have consulted with Ubisoft on accessibility in the past.
Oh, you're just patting yourself on the back then.
Well, right, but
you
no, that's
smarmy bastard.
But that, like, I'm saying that because they actually have a mandate that they want to have their games as accessible as possible by 2020. So all their teams are kind of trying to get together. Gotcha. Like, okay, what can we do with the accessibility community? So they brought a few of us up to Ubisoft Montreal, and they were like, okay, what are the barriers that you have in playing our games, and what can we be able to do to come up with solutions to be able to kind of fix that? And I'm not saying that it's like every game, like It's not perfect. Like, there is a lot of, like, especially with Division 2, there's a lot of accessibility features, more than I've seen in any other game to date.
Sure.
But it's still hard for me to build, and it's challenging for me to build a play.
Is that a failing of the developer, or when you're playing a game and you get to that point, do you think or understand, I guess, of like, they've done as much as they can? Or is, like, you know what I mean? Like, like, when you're playing Celeste, you're like, well, I'd love to be able to play a platformer, but there's platformers are defined by tricky jumps and struggle, you know, like, so like, are they, you know what I mean? You know what I'm trying to drive it here? I'm not putting the words to it correctly.
No, of course. And I think it's like, it's a combination of both. Like, there definitely is my disability gets in the way, and it sort of hinders the frustration I have. Like, there was a period of time where I was ready to rage quit Division.
Sure.
Because just how long it took me to be able to complete a mission. And that's why I was like, I was leery about jumping into the multiplayer, because I didn't want to basically drag my team down.
Sure.
And having them to be able to backpack me and Sherpa me throughout the entire game, that's not fair to them and also to myself, because I feel like I'm not being able to get the same enjoyment. And my thing is, there is a lot of accessible games that are developed. Like, there's blind games, there's games that are developed for hard of hearing. And that's fine, that's all well and good, but I want to be able to play the games that my friends are playing. So if I want to jump in into your clan on the Division 2, I want to be able to at least contribute. And so that's a fault on my own end, and also the developer's end. But I also will go with the benefit of the doubt that it's the best they can be able to do right now. And that's why I'm so excited to be able to see where games are going to evolve into in the next, like, 5 years, where there will be those times I'll be like, okay, it's hard. I can drop down the difficulty level, or I can increase the enemies so that I can be able to see it better. It doesn't hinder my friends playing the game. It doesn't hinder anything but it adjusts the experience that I have so I can be able to enjoy the games that my friends and family are playing.
Good, good. Good answer. You nailed it. A short one here from MSG Heavy Arms. Hey, KFGD crew. With the news story about Judgment the other day halting sales of the game in Japan while they look into the voice actors' possible legal troubles, I saw on PSN the game is available for pre-order here in the States. Will it delay the game coming out here? Curious in your thoughts. Thanks for a wonderful day. Yeah, it's still available for pre-order, but remember, they said they're looking into what it means. Yeah. I would say yes, it's going to delay the game. I think they're going to remove him and patch him out, and I wouldn't be surprised, since the game's not out here. Why not? Let's not put out a thing and put out a giant patch. Let's actually get it fixed.
But I think it's just one of those corporate things. It's just like, okay, we're not canceling the game. They didn't say they're canceling the game. They're just delaying it.
Yeah, exactly. So I think you're going to see it slip. I hope not. It's a cultural thing. So it's whatever. I want to play the game as soon as possible. So I hope not, I guess, to an extent, but I understand where they're coming from. I'm not going to be upset if that's what they decided to do.
Exactly.
All right, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody has good times playing together. Today, you're not playing any games, though. Tiz Teaches wrote in. He needs help IRL. The name he put in, though, was checkpointorg.com. Let's let Tiz tell you about it. To any best friends out there, like myself, Let me try again. To any best friends out there, like myself, who might at times be struggling with mental health issues, I'd like to recommend Checkpoint. Checkpoint is a nonprofit organization that provides mental health resources for gamers and the gaming community. Their website offers resources to search for help, as well as features dozens of great articles about games, mental health strategies, and more. Friend of the show, Alana Pierce, recently became a board member and is now working on a new project for them. Their website also has links to their Discord server. It's a lovely place to talk about what may be troubling you, celebrate victories, or simply chat about games and share cute pet pictures. Checkpoint is based out of Australia, parentheses, oi, governor! But there are several of us Western Hemisphere folks there too. So regardless of the time of day, there are always lovely people to chat with. I've seen how special the Kinda Funny community can be, and I know both Kinda Funny and Checkpoint can benefit from one another. Please check out their website if you're interested in learning more about them. It's free. Remember, best friends, you're worth it, and it's never too late to find help. checkpointorg.com. A lovely message, Tiz. Thank you for sending that in. Yes, if you are struggling, ladies and gentlemen, hit up checkpointorg.com. Talk to some people. Speaking of talking to each other, this is a rotating segment from It Doesn't Matter. It Doesn't Matter writes in and says, this is really strange, but a shout out to us Kiwi best friends would be a really nice way to wake up tomorrow after the day that today was, as well as a reminder to us to be better to one another and that those other good things still exist. Please, heart, this is really fucking hard. Of course, shout out to everyone, all of you Kiwis out there. You know, we're obviously thinking of you, and I hope you're all safe and taken care of.
Yes.
Steve, it's time for You're Wrong.
Cool.
This is where people write in to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong while we're live to tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later and doing all this stuff.
This is so stressful for me.
No, it's fine. Dapper Steve with a PH says, in regards to Steve about not seeing a game being able to change the size/scale of hub items in a long time, guess what game Dapper Steven's writing it about?
Uh-oh.
Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy
14 MMO allows you to change the hub sizes and scale along with all the
texts. I apologize for that because I have not played any Final Fantasy games.
No, it's just funny that after we were like, he talked about the 9 million hours he put in, that's where he pops up with, right? People are doing updates on stuff we did, like where Steve Watt works. Steve Watts works. He works at GameSpot. Now we know. Thank you very much. Now they're talking about Castle Crashers. We caught up on that, though. Oh, here we go. Nanobiologist says there's a new date we missed. Devil May Cry 5 is adding Bloody Palace mode on April 1st. Cool. Yeah, there's. Yeah, I'm not gonna put that in there. It's not really new. I think there's a Division 2 bug right now because of one of the cooldowns with skills we were talking about. Or I was talking about there with Barrett. That's gonna get patched probably before this episode even gets out. Sure. So I don't know if that's gonna help people out. Hold on, cool. I'm reading this one.
Okay. He's reading, folks.
Yeah. Okay. No. It's not. It's not. You're wrong. It's just a little correction. All right. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. This has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Thank you so much for all your love, support. Remember, you can be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or roosterteeth.com. And you can listen anytime on podcast services around the globe. Next week is GDC, which means you have a star-studded guest host lineup sitting here with me. Who are they? Let me run you through. Monday, Emma Kidwell, a contributing editor for Gamma Sutra, is joining me. Tuesday, Dave Lang from Iron Galaxy and Giant Bomb. He doesn't work at Giant Bomb, but you know he's always on there yelling at Attaboys. He's joining me. Wednesday, Rebecca Valentine from GamesIndustry.biz, one of the most read reporters on this show, is joining me. Thursday, the Crooked Commissioner, Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed, has the balls to show his face here. And then, Friday, Amanda Farou. No, it's not Farou, right? Manager editor at Games or GameDaily.biz is joining me. I've never met Amanda, but I always hear lovely things about her. So I'm excited to work with her.
That's awesome.
Steve,
yes, sir.
Where can people keep up with you?
You can be able to go to youtube.com/snowball to be able to check out my my channel there. Also, I'm at Steve Saylor on Twitter. Yeah, it's just a really cool place. Actually, I am in town not only just for this, but for GDC as well. So there's the Games Accessibility Conference on Monday at the Children's Creativity Museum here in San Francisco. I'll be there a panelist for that. So that'd be really cool. And basically, I'm just kind of like right now looking for work, unemployed, got laid off since the last time I was here. And not to say that Kind of Funny was the cause of that.
I bet it was. We probably had a big part of that, right?
Yeah. Basically, I'm just trying to be able to create content and just trying to be able to find work as a host. I'd like to be able to do that.
I want to dial it back. That's great. Give him a job. You know what I mean? I think I've met Amanda. I've never worked with Amanda. I hate that when you say that and you're like, wait a second, that doesn't sound 100% correct. But it was one of those passing, like, hey, at a conference kind of thing. So what kind of work are you looking for now? Are you trying to do more of this? Or are you trying to do more?
Well, I sort of looked into like, okay, could I be able to be like a full-time content creator? And that's like, the thing is with being laid off, I did get a little bit of severance so I can be able to kind of at least have a little bit
chill for a second, not panic. Yeah.
But I kind of am looking for host or content creator because I have to realize it'd be cool to be doing it full time, but I essentially within the next 2-3 months, I would definitely need a full time employment somewhere. So host, content creator, this has been a great platform for thank you so much for allowing me to
You're great. You're great.
So that would be really, really cool. Like an IGN or that'd be the dream.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why? Again, now there's legal trouble over there. Jonathan Dornbush. Suing these Beyond people. It's going to get rough over there. Remember, too, today, if you're still watching, and we're live with The Division, but more importantly, this evening, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, Dad of War, twitch.tv/Dad of War, O'Neill from yesterday out there doing his thing, playing games. I want to try to crush that number for him. Yeah. Steve, as always, you're fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming through.
All right. Yeah. I'd love to be able to come back.
Anytime. Cool. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.